Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Judith and Ed's family, we welcome you. Your presence here today is greatly appreciated. In this time of celebrating Ed's life, your support brings a measure of comfort and help. In spite of the time that has passed since Ed took his journey to heaven. Before he took that journey, he and Judy put together this service of celebration, and he prescribed much of its content. "You Will Never Walk Alone" was a special song for Ed. For the Christian, it is a reminder of God's promise to be an ever-present help in all of the issues and storms of life. It is a reminder of the Lord's presence with us, that he stands by us in every circumstance and has promised to see us through life safely all the way home, his home in heaven that becomes our home, for he is preparing a place for all who accept his invitation to believe on him and trust him. In the bulletin, you read these words: everyone will endure storms and dark days during their life. But it is the light and beautiful days that come after the storm that gives us hope and allows us to get through the dark days. I pray the days after your storms get brighter and brighter for you, and you will never walk alone. Here's the song as presented by Judith on CD. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, As we bow in your presence this day, we are thankful for your great and many promises to us, and we remember that the Lord is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And with faith in you, we never walk alone. We pray for the help and comfort of your presence on Ed's family. And as we take these moments to celebrate Ed's life today, we're also reminded that you called him home. You prepared a place in heaven for him, and he is now present with you because of his faith in you, his Maker and his Redeemer. May we, each one, look to you, and in your presence find your help and comfort. We pray that your very presence in this place would be made known to each one here. You are here, and for this we give our humble thanks and pray in the manner Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We have some scripture to read, and as we come to the conclusion of that scripture, you have in your bulletin a paraphrased version of the 23rd Psalm, which when we come to it, I will ask you to stand and we will read it together in unison and then remain standing for the hymn, Amazing Grace. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. For better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. From the lips of Jesus we heard these words. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In other portions of the scriptures, we read these words. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Let's stand and read this scripture together. The Lord is the one who goes before me. He will provide all I need, even the places of silence and solitude, which are essential for my serenity and wholeness. He leads me into the world to be an extension of his loving care. When things get tough and the going is rough, I will not fuss, for he is with me and in me. His life and his words are my comfort. In all I plan and do, he is there. When others belittle or frustrate my work, He blesses my activities with success. Truly, he is good to me. He has never failed me. He has poured goodness, mercy, and love over my life in the past, present, and future. He goes before me, leading me into harmony and peace. Amazing grace.
Reading from the scriptures, John 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
An ancient king, King David, knew about the troubles that life can bring. He experienced times of great difficulty in his life. And in describing some of those experiences, he paints a rather graphic picture with these words. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the troubles be that great, David knew personally the deep troubles and challenges of life. And out of those experiences, he writes, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Be still and know that I am God. And in this psalm, it's Psalm 46. In this psalm, David is echoing God's great invitation given time and time again since the very dawn of time for us to trust him. The Bible from cover to cover is about this invitation from God to us to trust him, especially in times of trouble, but also in every situation in life, including this time when we come to the conclusion of our life and we lay our head down on our pillow for that last time. In another place, the psalmist asks a great question of God. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we that you should care about us? And the conclusion of the matter, that's Psalm chapter 8, was that God does indeed pay very close attention to who you are and who I am and what's taking place in our lives. That he has created mankind very special, and he does care. And so the psalmist says he's an ever-present help in trouble. That God's promise is to be present when he's invited to come into the affairs of our life. He waits for our invitation. That God is the rewarder of those who seek him, but you must first seek him. Sometimes we're tempted to give up on God when the going gets tough. Perhaps sometimes one might be tempted to conclude that God is either not there or he doesn't care. But the truth is, he is there, and he does care. He doesn't give up on us, especially when the going gets rough and life brings trouble as it will to all of us. He is there inviting us to trust him so that he can help see us through. So the point is, never give up on God. Because he is an ever-present help, just as he has promised. He is ever-present, and he is our help. That's his promise, to be a help to us, to be a source of strength when we're weak, a source of guidance when we're unsure of tomorrow, a source of healing when we hurt, and a source of comfort when we mourn. We can trust him to be our help. In Psalm 121, the psalmist wrote, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." That's an astounding statement when you stop to digest that statement. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The maker of heaven and earth has promised to be your help and my help. It's personal, just as God is personal to us as we invite him to come into our lives. And that's the third point I want to make, is that he comes when we invite him. The invitation comes to us in the words through the psalmist, "Be still and know that I'm God." This is God's own invitation to us. See, stillness is the opposite of turmoil and anxiety and hustle and bustle. In other words, God is saying, when it all seems too much, just be still. Trust me. Trust me, God is saying, as your safe place, a refuge, a place of security. Trust me as your strength. You can lean on me. I'll be there for you. Trust me as a place where you can rest, because you can safely roll your burdens on me and leave them with me. So God asks us and invites us to trust him in all of the affairs and situations of our lives. But he also asks us to trust him with our eternal destiny. Heaven is one of the main subjects of the Bible. The word heaven appears actually in 44 of the 66 books in the Bible and is mentioned by every single author in the New Testament. The Bible has a great deal to say about heaven, and it tells us that we're made for a place called heaven, and God wants us there. Even on the cross, Jesus gave us a powerful reminder of this fact and a powerful reminder of his grace. You might recall that crucified with him that day, there were two thieves, one thief on one side and one thief on the other. The one thief mocked him. The thief on the other side, though, dared to believe. And he offered just these words that are recorded: "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turned to him and he spoke these words: "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Today, today, that very day, do you marvel at such grace? You should. Even while Jesus is experiencing pain and agony of a magnitude we cannot even begin to imagine, he extends mercy and grace to a dying thief who dared to believe. And the point of that is that no one is beyond the touch of his mercy and grace if they reach out the hand of faith. No one. There is no one beyond God's reach. All God is waiting for us to do is to reach out the hand of faith and receive his gift of eternal life. He needs us to simply say yes to him. Does not matter who you are, what you are, where you have been, what you may have done. I promise you, his grace is bigger, his love is greater, and he longs for you to belong to him if you don't already. See, heaven is real, and these events remind us of that. The knowledge that heaven is real and that the believer is only one breath away from heaven has a powerful effect on one, or at least it ought to. God has made it plain to us that there is a heaven. This is not all there is. He has done everything that he can do for you to be there, but he won't force his gift on you. Our part is to receive his gift and to open it. The gift is his son, Jesus Christ. There is no religion or belief system that will get you to heaven, only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Heaven is real, folks. If there was any other way to heaven, Jesus would not have gone to the cross, believe me. No one does that as an extra. It's the only way. And at the very moment we draw our last breath, the believer is immediately present with the Lord Jesus in a conscious state, fully aware of all that is, yet the body is dead. This is only the believer has this experience. If you draw your last breath without Jesus in your heart, this will not be your experience. My favorite epitaph, I quote this often, is somewhere in the southern United States. And the man's name was Solomon Pease, garden variety, P-E-A-S, okay? And he had written on his tombstone these words, "Here lies Solomon Pease. Pease is not here, only the pod. Pease shelled out, went home to God." Okay? He knew where he was going. Our family has known Ed for many, many years. And I was delighted when Ed began showing up here at our church, searching for a refuge and a safe place that he couldn't find elsewhere. Ed was a man of faith. He knew what the grace of God was all about. He also knew what the mercy of God was all about. There was an occasion in the life of Christ where a woman was brought before him. The law demanded that she be stoned to death, and Jesus was asked what he would do. They were testing him. Jesus bent down and he wrote something on the ground. What he wrote, no one knows. But whatever it was, spoke to everyone who stood there watching, many with stones in their hands, no doubt. And then he said to her accusers, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And if you know the story, you know that they all left. With that one sentence, Jesus addressed forever man's propensity to judge another. It's not our right. Jesus says, look at yourself first. For we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. But that's what grace is all about. That's his amazing grace to us. You sung about it. It's his gift because of Calvary. See, because of Jesus and his great love, we can pray the prayer that someone taught Ed. Ed shared it with me and requested that I share it with you. It was his oft-quoted prayer in those last days as he anticipated and looked forward to his entrance into heaven. You may want to jot it down. It's simple to write, and I'll quote it first, and then I'll give a rerun just in case you miss some words. Abba, Father, I am your child. I belong to you. I am in your hand. Isn't that simple? Doesn't it say it all? And that was the simple, trusting faith in Christ that Ed went off to heaven with and anticipated those moments. Abba, Father. Abba means daddy, personal, close relationship. Abba, Father, I am your child. I belong to you. I am in your hand. And we can trust God. He is our refuge and strength. Folks, if his eye is on the sparrow, is it not also on you? Of course it is. We'll now have the song, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
want to extend my thanks to each and every one of you for coming today to pay tribute to Ed, to remember the good man that he was, and to celebrate Ed's life. A life that began right here in Midland, where he was born and raised, eventually working in his father's menswear store, then ever looking farther afield, moving away to take employment and live in South Africa, England, and Germany, in sales. Ed always served the Lord wherever he was, in his church and in many capacities, from the small Honey Harbor Waterside Church on Georgian Bay to Hillside Bible Chapel and First Baptist Church in Orillia. And Ed was so pleased when he found that a longtime family friend was the pastor here at First Baptist in Barrie. So eventually Ed began attending here and became a member. He felt so at home here. In his early church life, Ed preached the message in various churches. He sat on many church boards and was instrumental in setting up the Orillia Christian School many years ago, which still operates today. Ed was an inventor. He had an amazing mind. Had he been alive when COVID became the pandemic it has, Ed would be inventing something using ozone to try and find a cure. Ed loved his staff at the water market. They were like family to him. He owned the business for 31 years, and the photo of Ed with his beard that he grew once in a while, it states on the bottom of it, in memory of our founder, Graham Edwards Wales, 1938 to 2020. This photo sits at the water market on the counter every day, where his many friends and customers come in and still say, "Morning, Ed. Afternoon, Ed." When I first met Ed in Florida, Ed had been alone for many years, and I had been widowed for some time. It was his ready smile that lit up his face that endeared him to me. I just know he is smiling today, seeing all of us here gathered together. Ed and I were blessed to have 8.5 years together. We always said when we married, if we get 10 years, we'll be lucky, we'll be blessed. We traveled, we boated, we enjoyed life and companionship. Ed was an honest, caring, and giving Christian gentleman. He loved his Lord, his church, and he loved all of you. Ed left us too soon. He was going to work every day just a few weeks before his passing. He always said to me, "I'm going to live forever." And I believed him because he was always so vital and energetic in his everyday life. But melanoma changed that. Melanoma, which I thought was a skin cancer, developed in Ed's eye, and he had to have his eye removed. And in time, his life was shortened so very quickly as it moved to other parts of his body. Ed is in a better place with his Lord and Savior, of that I know. And he is smiling down on us today, happy that we persevered during this pandemic and are finally able to gather for this service, of which he had a big part in preparing. Ed was never afraid of dying. He'd been preparing his whole life for this and talked openly about this final stage of his earthly life and the glory to be in his next life. What an amazing man. He is gone from our midst, and he is missed, but will never be forgotten. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jay, and I've known Ed for about the past 14 years. And over that time, I developed a lot of respect for Ed. When I first started at the water market, I basically didn't know anything about water. And so Ed had to train me from the ground up. And I had a lot of questions. So one of the things why I really like working with Ed is he didn't just answer my question. He started a lot of our conversations off with, "Well, let's think about this for a minute." He taught me why things work the way they work. He taught me how things work. And he basically trained me to think about things before I reacted. And that helped me out a lot as a water tech. It also helped me out with another aspect of my life. About a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with some health concerns. And I didn't have anybody to talk to about some aspects of it simply because I didn't know anybody that has gone through it or had gone through it other than Ed. And so I'd be done a service call, I'd be done an installation, and I could go to the water market, and Ed would be in the back working on his invention, and I can sit down with Ed and just talk. And we discussed things, and we could think through things, and he just had a way of making you feel good. It didn't matter how negative things were, Ed always had a positive outlook on everything. And so I connected with Ed. I connected with him personally, and I connected with him professionally. I have a lot of respect for Ed. He taught me a lot. He was a very kind, generous, incredibly knowledgeable man, and I look up to Ed a lot. He truly is missed.
My name is Jennifer. I've been working with Ed for about 10 years. Ed was many things to many people, and he undoubtedly left a lasting impression on us all. He was a kind and gentle man, willing to help anyone that needed it, no matter the circumstance. He felt a great need to help everyone he could, because he always saw the good in everyone. He never spoke ill of anyone that I recall. And I came to admire this quality about him. I also admired him for his determination, his perseverance, both in a professional sense and a personal sense. And if you think about it, without realizing it, Ed taught us so much. He had an uncanny ability for doing things like that. But the most important lesson that Ed left us was that we have to make the best out of every moment of every day. He taught us to take everything in stride and have the faith that everything will work out. He taught us to wake up each day with a smile and a renewed sense of purpose. And if you get knocked down, just pick yourself back up and keep going. Ed's philosophy was simple, but his impact is deeply profound. Thank you, Ed, for all of the great memories and lessons that we will carry with us for the remainder of the days.
So my name is Jeff Campbell. I'm happier hiding behind an organ, so you'll have to bear with me. I've worked with Ed now for 20 years at the water market, side by side, but really my time with Ed goes back to when I was 8 years old, when we all went to the same church. So I grew up knowing him, listening to him preach, listening to him pray. He was a man of great integrity. It's a real honor for me to stand here and pay tribute to Ed, who has been a mentor to me for all these years. When I think about my friend Ed, things that immediately come to my mind are, and this was the easiest eulogy to write because, quite honestly, everything came right to my mind, his care and concern for all those around him. An example of this is Ed showing up at the home of a sick staff member with a bag of medicines and herbal products that he had purchased to try to help. And it was a huge bag every time, and a bit of everything, and you never knew where he got it, but he just was trying to help. He was always a thoughtful person. The second thing that comes to my mind is his absolute trust in God. Ed always said, God has a plan, we just need to trust him. In business, as you will know, you always have ups and downs, and Ed always had faith that even though we couldn't see the bigger picture, God would take care of us and the business regardless. And he usually talked me down off my excitement on that. The third thing that jumps to my mind is the incredible mind that Ed had for inventing. Ed spent many years and countless hours in our back shop inventing a system to turn sewage waste into potable water using, as Judy has already mentioned, ozone, and I have no doubt that you're correct. Many of the day I would go in the back shop and I couldn't get past the door because all you could smell was ozone, and I'd say, Ed, should you open a window? And he says, what, is there something wrong? And our team member knows that. Ed Swales was a gentle soul with a compassionate heart, and I am so very grateful to have not only been his colleague, but also his friend. Even in my last two visits with Ed, at his condo and at the hospice, he always had a smile and an encouraging word, always thinking of others. I will always treasure the memories of our journey together. Thank you for everything you've taught me, Ed, and so long for now, or as Ed would say, cheerio.
The next person to have spoken would have been Ed's daughter, Sandra Holland. Sandra and her husband Jason and their two small children reside in Pennsylvania. And as we all know, with the border closed as it is, just could not be that she could be here. So she did send me what she wanted spoken, and I'm happy to share this with you. Good afternoon, everyone. I desperately wish I could be home for this occasion, but cannot for an obvious reason. The border is closed. As with any relationship, there were ups and downs, but in the end, we were able to resolve everything and remain close. I want to take a few moments to let you know the positive influence my dad had on my life. To many of you, he was a friend, sibling, cousin, or peer, but he was my dad, and I cherished my relationship with him. Growing up with brothers who were older than me, I had the unique opportunity to be around my parents by myself, which lent itself to being Dad's right-hand girl. Really, considering he usually worked 12-hour days, in order to spend time with him, you did what he did: fix or build things, go boating, and fish. So these were the things I did with him. He showed me under the hood of cars how many tools you need to use to fix one, and he had me use them. He taught me to drive a boat before I could even drive a car, and instilled in me the curiosity of how all things worked. I just so happened to go the route of wondering how people worked, because Sandy is a social worker. My dad was a wealth of information for anyone who wanted to listen. So I learned all about birds, books, theology, some words for another language that he had learned, and the list could go on and on. My dad had a love of apples, and to this day, I eat one daily because of him. When I was younger, my dad would put me to bed. We would pray and often then sing the Amen song over and over and over. This song has become a favorite of our children at bedtime as well. For some reason, he even tolerated me crimping his hair and painting his toenails while he was asleep one day. We both loved just being out on the water, with me typically being out on the bow of the boat as his hood ornament. And at the end of the day, there are so many things I've learned from my dad that I'm grateful for, and I hope to pass on to our kids. Love you, Dad.
I'm Tom Bain. I was a business partner of Ed's in the Great Lakes Clean Water Company. Ed was my friend. He still is my friend. He'll always be my friend. I met Ed at the Honey Harbor Community Church about 1995. Ed was a big presence at the Honey Harbor Community Church. He arranged for preachers. He arranged for musical groups. He cooked and carved at the annual pig roast. He was a wonderful greeter, and he preached some fantastic, thoughtful sermons himself. One day I was talking to Ed about a problem we were having in Honey Harbor with liveaboard boats contributing pathogens and nutrients to our natural Georgian Bay water. A device was needed to treat the water on board before it was discharged. Ed said, "I can make a device to solve that problem." Shortly thereafter, Ed began arriving at my dock, at my cottage, with contraptions that he had put together on pieces of plywood. There were pumps and pipes and valves and relays and wires, lots of wires, and a battery to make it work. None of these attempts seemed to have much merit, and I sent Ed packing each time. But somehow he would return with something new. One day, Ed arrived with an assembly that included an ozone generator and a recirculation pump. It looked interesting to me, and I said, "Let's see if we can get a patent, Ed." Ed said, "Let's build some and sell them." We did get a patent on Ed's device in 2002, and 8 more patents have been issued since then. On Tuesday, July the 14th, 2020, that's next Tuesday, a 10th patent will be issued by the United States Patent Office in Washington. Ed was a dream to work with. We had so much fun and so many laughs working on Ed's machine. It's now trademarked as the WaterClean machine. One day, Ed and I were working on the machine, and things were not going well. Something was wrong. The test results were not good. My approach was problem solving was by thinking it out. I left and visited the restroom for a few minutes, and when I came back, Ed exclaimed, "I fixed it." I said, what have you done? And he says, "I've done this, 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 and this." And I inquired, "Which one fixed the problem?" And Ed responded, "I don't really know." That was Ed, a man of action. Another day, Ed and I were working on the machine at the Gravenhurst sewage treatment plant. We used to joke about falling into the raw sewage channel. This day, a tap was left open, and when Ed turned on the machine, he covered me with raw sewage. Ed started to laugh. Then we both started to laugh. It was a treasured moment. When it came to hard work, nobody could put things together faster than Ed. Ed was a marvel with his hands and tools and pipes and plumbing for water systems. I just had to stand there and let Ed do it. Ed was a great dreamer. He had more ideas and more projects than possibly could have been accomplished. But there was great merit in all of them. All those ideas used to drive our investors crazy, but at our meetings, they all loved to listen and talk with Ed. He was such a personable guy. Ed was a dreamer, a tinker, a man of action. He will be greatly appreciated for his contribution to others, and he will be greatly missed. I have a message here which I'd like to read from Cam Shaw, who was a good friend of Ed's, and Cam is the leader of the Honey Harbor Community Church. These are Cam's words. "Some people just make life better for everybody around them. That is how you were, Ed. Your kind heart and generous soul have blessed so many people. You were admired and respected by everyone. I think of you right now, and so often one of my first thoughts is your engaging smile. I considered it a privilege to call you my friend and brother. Last time we talked, you mentioned the peace you felt, which we all know comes from the Prince of Peace. You are always in my thoughts and prayers these past months. Thank you, Ed, for your special friendship over so many years. Your brother in Christ, Cam Shaw."
I'm Janice, Judy's middle daughter. On behalf of my sister, Laura, I'm happy to share a few of our thoughts and memories as we celebrate the life of Ed. Ed Swales was a special person, and we certainly were glad to welcome him into our family. When Ed and Mom met at Magic Tree in Kissimmee, Florida, it wasn't expected or planned. It just happened. In the months that followed, it was clear that they were both happy being together, and they enjoyed their great companionship. They shared their love of music, faith, traveling, and boy, did they enjoy their trips. They loved their time at Magic Tree every winter, and family and friends, sing-alongs by the fire, and lots of laughs. What we really admired about Ed and Mum were the simple things they liked to do, like spontaneous drives on a weekend and finding a cute little restaurant to have lunch or dinner, or going for a walk in Copeland's Forest, or just listening to their classical music and relaxing at home. There was always music in the air. Did you know Ed himself was a pretty good singer? Ed reminisced with us and the nurses during his last few days of how much he and Mom enjoyed their river cruise. He said, "It was the best trip ever," with his big teary eyes and big smile. We're so glad they had some good years together. Ed was loved by all our family, and he would so willingly want to come to see his grandkids in their plays and musicals, watch hockey and soccer games, concerts and graduations, whatever was going, and loved our family and friend get-togethers. Ed was patient and kind. He told great stories. He had a good sense of humor and was a good joke teller. He was a great listener, always positive, and he had a wonderful outlook on life. Ed's faith was important to him, and it was never more evident than when he faced some serious health issues. Ed met each hurdle and challenge with optimism, very matter of fact, but he truly believed he was in God's good hands and at peace with this. He helped plan today's service, which Mom has graciously carried out in celebrating Ed's life. Ed rarely complained about anything. Laura, Jeff, and I, and our kids admired Ed for his ability to see the positive in everything. He was indeed a real trooper. When we think of the family times with Ed, we fondly remember the summers when Mom and Ed rented a cottage and all 16 of us swam, boated, fished, and kayaked, and ate, canoed, barbecued, and ate some more. There was a never shortage of food and fun. We had a surprise 80th birthday party for Ed, complete with balloons, cake, and singing. You could tell Ed was moved that we did this for him. And he said, "I feel special." He was a great man, and we're so glad he came into our lives. We loved Ed. We do miss him, but we're comforted by knowing he is in good hands. From our families, thank you for coming. And now a few words from our little brother.
Honestly, I could talk at length about Ed, actually. So I will attempt to keep this brief and to the point. First, Ed was such a blessing to our family. He was a blessing and a true godsend, I believe, for our family. Ed became like a grandpa for our young kids, and we enjoyed some very, very special times on the boat, the cottage, and Florida, and little jaunts here and there. Ed loved to teach our kids, as has already come up. So you can imagine the passion that they poured into teaching our kids, everything from fishing and how to fish and how the fishing hooks are made, I mean, everything. He was so good at it. He was patient and gentle. He enjoyed attending our church in Interkip, and he was happy even to attend our men's ministry with me on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Loved that time with him. When Ed shared his wishes for this service, he noted some of his favorite hymns, and he wrote, "These are expressions," and I quote, by the way, "these are expressions of my faith and relationship with my God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Isn't that special? On this last day, on his last day with us, I will forever cherish singing worship songs to Ed in the hospice, being able to pray Ed into heaven, praying about the fun times, thanking God, praying thanksgiving for Ed, our love for him, that he could go fishing in heaven with Jesus, being a fisher of man himself, to be able to thank him for being such a godly man, a mentor, a teacher, and a leader. We prayed about how amazing heaven will be and that he is probably so excited to go, to join Jesus and to be with him. And as Edwin mentioned, I was able to pray the prayer that Ed taught me as well in the hospice. Abba, Father, Almighty God, Ed is your child. Hold Ed in your hands. And with that, he left this temporary home here on earth. And at that moment, there was a song on the radio, without lyrics, but my mom recognized the song. The song was called "Going Home." It was written in 1922, the lyrics to a song by Dvorak. Please hear these lyrics as I read them. "Going home, going home. It's not far, just close by, through an open door. Work all done, care laid by, going to fear no more. Mother's there expecting me, father's waiting too. Lots of folk gathered there, all the friends I knew. Nothing lost, all's gained, no more fret nor pain. No more stumbling on the way, no more longing for the day. Going to roam no more, morning star lights the way. Restless dream all done. Shadows gone, break a day, real life just begun. It's not far, just close by, Jesus is the door. Work all done, laid aside, fear and grief no more. Friends are there, waiting now. He is waiting too. See his smile, see his hand. He, Jesus, will lead me through. every tear wiped away, pain and sickness gone. Wide awake, there with him, peace goes on and on.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Following our concluding song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which you have the words for with you, the benediction will be concluded with the Hallelujah Chorus. The Hallelujah Chorus is the victory song of heaven. It directs our attention to heaven and to Jesus Christ, to whom alone belongs all praise and glory and worship. In Revelation chapter 19, we read, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let's join together in singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The greatness of your faithfulness is beyond our capacity to measure or fully comprehend. But we rest in the knowledge that you are faithful to all your promises as we receive the benediction of Jesus himself when he said, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And so we won't. To the glory of our God and Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen and amen.